Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in the air, gave a proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
I love it.
You know, it doesn't get any better than that. That is one of our World War II veterans who took it upon himself to sing the national anthem to open a baseball game, and you heard the crowd's awesome response.
Awesome.
But I just figured that would be a great way to kick off tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us for the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Head's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, I want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SVN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's @Cal_SBN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Excuse me. Later this hour on SBN, we're going to be joined by Congressman Jerry Carl, who represents the 1st Congressional District here in South Alabama. He's going to get us up to speed on the crazy world that exists inside the Beltway, including some important legislation that he has sponsored for our veterans.
Man, pardon me. You're about to lose it, aren't you, son?
Looks like it. Something got caught in my throat there. It was got a little choked up.
Sounds
from,
like me after eating cornbread.
And, of course, we got Tom's tirade on the black tulips. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, in case you haven't heard it from the zombie in chief, the buck stops with him, but it's all Trump's fault.
Oh, yeah. It right, stops Tom? With him because he's president, but Trump did it.
Oh, right. And I'm sure if President Trump was still on Twitter, it would be even worse because he'd be tweeting about it.
Yes. Are you going to be all right,
Tom?
The
good news, Tom, is that while President Trump is not on Twitter, the Taliban is.
Right.
And of course, you know, the Taliban is running roughshod over what we once fought and bled and died for there in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting the way they're trying to spin this. And I think this is probably one of the better clips. And this is Nancy Pelosi trying to spin what is going on over there to try to run some cover for President Sleepy Joe Biden. So, Dalton, you want to run that clip for us?
The U.S. withdrawal left tens of billions of dollars worth of U.S. military equipment in the hands of the Taliban. There were helicopters, guns, ammunition. How much has that raised the threat of future terrorist attacks, this well-armed Taliban?
Well, I do believe that the president's decision was based on one that reduced the prospect of any attack on our homeland. And the president has made it very clear to the Taliban, any assault on any American entity or person would be met forcefully. So this is what happens when you withdraw. Some equipment is left there. It was thought that that would be used. It was hoped that it would be used by the Afghan military to defend its own country. The fact that it did not and could not was all more the reason for us to leave.
Okay, I'm still trying to figure out just exactly how much of the Botox has seeped into that woman's brain.
What the hell did she say?
She basically said nothing, Tom.
Right. Well, you could see on TV in the last few days where the thousands and thousands of different types of rifles, drones, and some missiles, and unbelievable amount. They have the fourth largest air force now in the world.
Oh, yeah. They got Black Hawk helicopters, probably more than we had in Benghazi. Of course, you don't want to talk about Benghazi.
Well, how many hundreds? How many hundreds? You're going to get me PO'd if you do that. But I mean,
oh, believe me, there's enough PO to go around on this one.
That's the damn truth. But how many vehicles, Humvees and tanks and all the other vehicles that were left there? I mean, there's no damn planning whatsoever.
Oh, well, you know, Tom, and here's the thing, and Biden went on TV about a week ago and said, oh, you know, there's nothing to worry about. The Afghans have a really great, well-trained army. And all I could think to myself, Tom, was that's Obama's, when he called ISIS the JV team.
Right.
That's exactly what Joe Biden was doing,
right,
or at least that's
right.
What he thought he was doing.
Yep.
Who knows exactly what's going on in his head. But reality is, those folks that we trained, because we pulled out in the fashion that we did,
right,
let's make no bones about it. This was a political decision because Joe Biden wanted to be able to say, oh, on the 20th anniversary of September 11th, we were out of Afghanistan.
Right.
Yeah, and went against his intelligence and military leaders.
Right.
Well, they want to try to pin this on the military somehow.
Well, look at that base there, an air base that they evacuated and didn't even tell the commander that they were evacuating it overnight.
Oh no! Well, you don't need to let the commander know, Tom.
He's just a commander. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, he probably thought he was going on vacation like the rest of the administration was.
Did you see the figures where it showed that they are now the most highly funded narco terrorist group in the world? And they're just with their narcotics and the opioids, the poppies and all that they're selling over there. I mean, it's like they got like $1 billion, $1.5 billion a year that they're making off of that, because now they control it, the Taliban does. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about them doing whatever they want to do. Hell, they got all of our equipment, and they got all the money they need. They going to come after us. They're coming in across our Mexican border. You watch them. And the Canadian border.
The good news, Tom, is that at least they're going to keep our heroin trade up with the opium that they've got over there, because goodness knows they're not going to stop the opiate crisis over here from flooding the southern border.
Nope.
So when all those folks can no longer afford their prescription drugs or they can't steal them, then they have to turn to heroin and they shoot up and they overdose.
Right.
So goodness knows we don't want to have any national security in any form or fashion, but it's a slap in the face to anyone who served in Afghanistan, anyone who's a veteran. You and I first talked about withdrawing from Afghanistan. Your first tirade about that was 10. It was 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
It's when we first started talking about this.
2010, 2011, somewhere in there, we had a tirade about it. Yeah.
Yeah. in no form or fashion should it have been done like this. And I'll tell you what we really should do. We should take every Marine that is wrapped around that airport right now and pull them out and let these damn State Department weenies get out there and see how they can negotiate with these murderous bastards, because that's what they are. Let the State Department have their Benghazi moment again.
There you go. That's what I wanted to say. Let them have their Benghazi moment. Yes.
And you know what? And Biden and Blinken and all the other damn liars can show up at Dover Air Force Base when it's the State Department that's in those coffins and see how they feel about it then. Right. They can lie to the American people and lie to those folks' parents instead of our troops.
Right. Oh, man. Amen, brother.
Anyway, my goodness, I don't think we need a tirade today, do we?
No, you got it covered, baby.
Oh, hey, there's plenty more to cover. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going on in Nancy Pelosi's Botox brain, but we'll talk about that a little later. Hey, on the other side of the break, Congressman for AL1, Mr. Jerry Carl, maybe he can tell us what's happening there in the House when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
America's best 100 men will test today. But only three win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land. Trained in combat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And there is no truth to the fact that that was actually the sound of the last helicopter leaving Afghanistan.
Now, that was one leaving Vietnam.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah. But anyway, hey, you can catch us streaming on the FM Talk 106.5 app. I think you can download it from the Google Play Store or the Apple Surveillance Market. And hey, you can also catch our podcast at the exact same place for any of our regularly aired shows. And if you want to catch Tom's tirade, that's up at castbox.fm. And again, you can check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information there. But hey, it's always great to be joined on SBN by the congressman from the 1st Congressional District of Alabama, the Honorable Jerry Carl. I guess we have to put that in there. I couldn't say it about Tom.
No, you don't.
But anyway. Jerry, hey, thank you for joining us.
You don't know me very well, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's that Barbara Boxer moment where, you know, she berates the general and says that she earned that senator title. So not
God.
That he did anything to earn me.
You know, I love it when people say he's just Jerry. I wear that with pride. That's like a medal. So I'm good with just Jerry. That works for me.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll go with just Jerry then. So just Jerry from the 1st Congressional District. But Jerry, hey, thank you for joining us. I know there's a lot of things going on inside the Beltway that we don't always hear about. But one of the great things that you had mentioned to us earlier in the year that was happening is this the pause bill that you had put out there, and I know that got moved forward. So tell us a little about that.
Well, it got on the floor. We co-signed on that bill. It actually got on the floor. I'm trying to remember. I think it was unanimous that it passed. And of course, now we'll move on to the Senate. And the Senate's got it, and it's a very simple bill. It's not one that we had a lot of challenges on. You know, it's one of the good things about in Congress that when you start talking about veteran issues, we do have a tendency of trying to work together, which is pretty exciting for me. You don't see that very often in Washington.
Well, and it does seem that veterans' issues do tend to carry a little bit more bipartisanship. And I was just looking; I was reading a story about the ongoing costs to our post 9/11 veterans, and they're looking at in some instances, they're looking at maybe tripling or even quadrupling the amount of money that they think it's going to take care of our veterans. You know, do we have the political will to be able to take care of those veterans through the VA system when it's going to cost a lot of money?
I personally believe we do, but I think we need to alter the VA system a little bit. I personally would like to see the VA system privatized, where a veteran could go to any physician, any hospital. I know right now it's almost a test program they've got going. It was a 50-mile rule, and I think that's been rolled back to 20-something. But you know, I'd like to see all veterans fall under that category and be able to do that. I mean, it would certainly help the private sector. We understand, we already understand from Medicare what the reimbursement rates would be, should be. The physicians understand what they would be and should be. But there are some aspects of the VA health care that you can't do that with. Psychiatric, for example, you're not going to take, a veteran that's spent time in a war zone and sit him in front of a 27-year-old kid that's never done anything but go to school.
Right.
But it's just some things that you can't do that with when you talk about veterans' health care. But general health care, we should be able to do that. Even in the specialty field, we talk about cancers and get into some of the specialty stuff. So I would love to see some changes in that field. Barry Moore, which is from District 2, he actually sits on the VA committee, and he and I have shared some conversations about this. And hopefully it's something we can move into. Most people don't realize how much of the community is actually veteran-related. It depends on where you're at. It could be 12, as high as 15% of the community is actually veterans. So you're not talking about a small group of people. You're talking about a very large group of people that vote.
But did you look at it here just on the Gulf Coast around the Mobile area, close to 100,000 veterans that are actually registered with the VA? That doesn't count.
That's mind-blowing, especially when you're a politician. You're looking for a re-election or looking to win. I mean, that speaks volumes.
Right.
So, the veteran community needs, and they've done a great job of keeping themselves organized. And they need to continue to stay organized and, work towards something better. We can't change things overnight, but we can make little steps.
Well, wait, Jerry, I have to disagree with you. The Taliban has shown us that overnight you can change an entire nation.
Right.
Just as long as the U.S. tucks tail and runs.
Well, we can talk about that. Funny you should bring that up. You're the first one today that's brought that up. I'll tell you, I've got my own opinion, and I have not been briefed. We get briefed, I think, Monday. I'm sorry. No. We got a briefing Friday. But so I don't know anything that you don't know. Let me start with that. But I think the big picture here, you got to remember Obama, when he was in office, Axelrod, you remember that statement, you don't waste a good crisis.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think Biden has tried to create these crises to get our attention off of the border issue, because the border issues and the drugs coming across that border right now are scary. You look at the city of Mobile, it's got 190,000 people that live in the city of Mobile. There was more than that that crossed the border just in July that we documented. That doesn't count the ones we could not document. 210,000 people crossed the border in July.
Mm.
Now, we've got all of our resources taking care of those people, trying to process them, doing everything we can do to get them cleaned up. And while we're spending all of our resources on that, they're bringing drugs across the border. I mean, just by the waves. You see the drugs getting cheaper. You see them beginning to shoot and kill one another more in the neighborhoods and the street corners because they're fighting over territory. I mean, they're gangs, and they're not all the shootings, but a lot of these are gang-related because they're fighting over territory where they can sell these drugs. So I honestly believe that Biden has started trying to distract us from that, but he's just like that little kid that gets caught lying, and he tells another lie to cover up for that lie, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I don't think he really in his mind or his staff's mind ever intended or thought the Afghan Taliban could take over this fast?
Right, right.
Surely he's not that stupid. Right. I don't know of anybody that stupid.
That's what he thought.
But, well, that's hard for me to comprehend. I refuse to believe that military leaders did not tell him that was not a good idea. And I think that's what we're going to hear in the near future. But I think he says, heck, let's do it. It'll take tension off the border. It'll get it because the border is killing the Democrat Party, period.
Yes, sir.
Even the Democrats are turning on themselves. So when he started pulling the troops out, arbitrarily pulling the troops out, I mean, why would you not bring the civilians and the other people ahead of that? You know, yes. Bring the interpreters out. Get everybody out before you move your troops. Because that's your last line of defense. And I'm not a military person, but I got a little bit of common sense.
That makes sense, though, Congressman.
It's just common sense.
Right.
You know,
so
once you get your people out, then you start pulling your military back. But I heard numbers today that just scare the wits out of me. I mean, 175 Black Hawk helicopters they have now.
Right.
They have all the technology we have, and I'm telling you, the future wars are moving away from the battlefields. They're moving more to the air, to the space. It's a different type of war zone. They have all of our technology now. And you want to know why the Chinese are snuggling up to them? Because they have a whole bunch of drone systems. They have our best drone systems now, and they're going to sell that to the Chinese. The Chinese are going back into it and duplicate them. That's the part that really infuriates me in this whole, nobody stopped. I mean, the very least they could have done is dumped a handful of sugar in a few fuel tanks. I mean, have you seen the pile of rifles? They're stacking all these rifles up.
Unbelievable. Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, the only thing we can hope for is they're not used against us. They're used against somebody else. And if the Chinese thinks they can move in there and control that country, good luck.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck. Yeah.
Well, we need to get our people. We need to focus on our people right now. Leave nobody behind. Let's get our people out. Let's get our military out. Let's deal with them on our soil. Let's defend our soil. Stop this bleeding down at the border. Let's focus on what's really tearing this country apart. So that's my opinion.
Hey, Jerry, can you hold with us to the other side of the break?
Sure.
All right, great. On the other side of the break, we'll have more of the Honorable Mr. Jerry when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton, that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And hey, just so you know, today Tom is identifying as the master of the universe, and his preferred pronoun is He-Man.
Oh, really? And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, even though we might not be on it after tonight. The battleship
Tom,
USS Alabama
Tom,
Memorial
Tom
Park.
Tom was speechless. I got him.
You got it. You got it. Our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardenburg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He-Man.
And we are speaking with...
You are a hoot,
we're
dude.
Speaking.
You are a hoot, dude.
Hey, I just figured I'd give you something to laugh about. Goodness knows there's not anything in the news to be able to do it with. But anyway, hey, we're speaking with the congressman in the 1st Congressional District, just Jerry Carl. Hey, Jerry, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule fighting the peaceful handover of our country to the communist Democrats. So just to join us down here in Mobile.
No, we've got a struggle ahead of us. I tell you, I was really embarrassed today when the president came out talking about COVID and talking about a booster shot and did not mention anything about Afghanistan. I found that just so bizarre. Mm-hmm. So bizarre.
Yep. Did he come out of his bunker?
They've moved him back into the White House.
So. Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
His caregiver.
I think about that going on too.
Yeah. I wonder who has that contract for his caregiver service.
I don't know.
Hey, Jerry, I know prior to the break, we were mentioning the fact that China's sitting there waiting to get some of this technology. That may be why they're cozying up to the Taliban. But I've heard reports there's so much there that the Taliban, they're just walking it across into Iran and Pakistan.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. And there's no telling. Again, you're still talking about Obama's people that are running the White House now. So, you know, they probably already have pallets of cash lined up ready to deliver like they did with Iran. There's no telling what's going on right now behind the scenes with some of the deals they're trying to make. I thought today was bizarre. I think every day it gets even more bizarre. I think we're going to start seeing some stuff leaking out as far as what he knew, when he knew it. And the question is, I mean, even when he was challenged, he was so stirred up about somebody actually challenging him. He came out mad from Camp David and he didn't address what was really going on. What was really going on is they simply was no plan. There was no plan. And y'all are military. I mean, there's always a plan.
Right.
There's always
right,
a plan.
Right.
So who had the plan? Who did he say no to? So that's what we've got to figure out. But now, I want our attention to stay on the people that we actually have there on the ground and get them out.
Yeah. Now, Jerry, I thought it was interesting. He did do an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and in which he basically said, look, you know, I mean, what is happening was part of our projection. So, I mean, I don't know if he realizes it, but he's basically said, you know, look, no, we figured this was going to happen. Of course, a week ago, he was telling us something different. But ultimately, this is a failure. Not only in Afghanistan, but here's the thing I'm really worried about, Jerry, and I don't know how quickly we could do something about it, but you've got Taiwan that's sitting out there, and China is just salivating, waiting to be able to take that over. And what are we going to do? Are we going to do anything to stop anyone from, from invading another country?
I would say no. The military that I see being put together and lined up right now, I would really doubt that they would do much as far as trying to stop. Now they'll go the diplomacy route. They'll try that, but hopefully we don't have to cross that bridge. I know China keeps toying with Taiwan. China's got their own set of problems right now with COVID in their country. I mean, if they ever hit a hiccup in their cash flow, kind of gets in a knot, they're going to have several, trillion people over there hungry. I mean, there's a lot of things can go wrong other than war. So I'm not wishing anything bad on anybody, but I guarantee you the Chinese are thinking through their next move. They're not just going to do it because
they got a plan.
Make Donald Trump look bad. That's all this is about. You know, they just want to make Trump look bad. Well, it started on the border, and it has progressively just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Well, now Jerry, I mean, you keep referencing the border, and we've heard the stories about the folks that come across the border, and they're basically just letting them up into aircraft, and in the middle of the night, they're shipping them out and dropping them off throughout the nation. There's two things there. One is these folks, 18
to 3 weeks ago, and we had eight on the plane with us. They're easy to identify. They've got a big calendar looking thing hanging around their neck, says they don't speak English, and it has their tickets and their ID in it. They are not slowing those folks up at all. So if I was in Taliban, I would buy a round trip tickets to Cancun, Mexico, and then they can come across like everybody else. There is no stopping them with what Biden has in place right now. The only way we're going to stop that is to finish that wall. That's the only way we're going to stop it. And then we're going to slow it up quite a bit. But, you know, we've got to quit just opening the borders. And we're bringing these people in. People don't realize these folks can't even get a job. They don't have a Social Security number. It's against the law for you to hire these people as a business owner. So how are they going to feed themselves? They're going to have to turn to either crime. They're going to have to turn to drugs. They're going to have to turn to something other than making a normal living. You know, they do things for cash around houses, granted, but it's just going to be this huge influx of people that we can't put them to work.
Well, Jerry, won't a lot of those illegal migrants be able to get on food stamps and other welfare programs that we have?
Yes, sir. They will.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to support them.
Of course, we will.
Right. You know, but the thing that really bothers me is we've got this COVID problem here within the United States, and here's like 20-25% of all of the people that are coming in across the border that they're actually able to check have COVID. I mean, what the hell are we doing with them?
They have to show symptoms when they come across the border to be checked.
Right.
Now, people can carry the virus for days and days and never have a symptom. So we may be they may be targeting 20%. They're only holding those until they get a negative, and then they're turning them loose. So, you know, it the border issue, that's what I keep bringing everybody back to. This administration is trying to create an illusion of other problems, get our attention off where the real problem's at. Our border is where the problem's at. You know, because when they start coming across the border like they're doing right now, we can't protect ourselves. As long as we've got a border, we can stop them at the border. And I'm not talking about illegal immigrants. I'm talking about Taliban and everybody else.
Right. All
we've
the
got
illegals.
A chance.
Right. All the illegals.
Just one quick thought here, and we just got a few seconds, Jerry. But, you know, we were told by Biden and others that you don't need an M16 or an AR-15 to be able to go and hunt. But apparently the folks in Afghanistan need them because everybody's got them now, and the camels are really worried.
Oh, Lord. We're going to end on that one, Tom. Tom, that is so simple, I'm going to let you
camel
in.
Meat's going to be plentiful pretty soon. We'll be importing camel meat.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you being on
the show. And God bless America. Don't give up.
God bless you, Brother Carl.
Hey, thank you, Congressman Jerry Carl. We appreciate him being with us. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on the Black Tulips. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Minds of men fashioned a crate of thunder, sent it high into the blue. Hands of men blasted the world asunder.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
They were called the Black Tulips, and through much of the 1980s, these special aircraft were the silent couriers of death that would deliver the grim harvest of the Soviet Union's war in Afghanistan to families back in Mother Russia. Now, historically, the Russians go to extraordinary lengths to honor their patriotic heroes. Every day throughout Russia in the 1980s and in towns and villages, big and small, wherever Soviet veterans of World War II might gather, remembrance was a common occurrence. The heroes of the great patriotic war would place their medals on their chests and march out to do their daily business, where they would be greeted with respect by the public. Men, women, young children would stand out of gratitude for their service and sacrifice in defeating Nazi Germany. On May Day, Red Square would be filled with those veterans covered with medals, receiving the cheers of the adoring crowd. Not a day went by where these veterans were not heralded as heroes by a country that held them in great esteem for their decades of deeds. It was a stark picture of contrast for the Soviet veteran of the Afghan War. Well, this was a war which did not exist. Official policy of the Politburo was that for more than 5 years, they were not fighting a war. There had been no invasion of Afghanistan, and there were not 120,000 combat troops there. There was no carpet bombing of mud brick villages. There was no wanton destruction of the Afghan countryside. There was no war, and no one was being killed or maimed in the war that did not exist. And so it was surprising when the 10 coffins began unloading from the Black Tulips, which delivered that cargo with explicit instruction for the mothers of the dead. They were not to mention that their sons had died in Afghanistan. Their sacrifice would not be noted in the history books or on their headstones. They would not be awarded medals as their predecessors had, because there was no war. The mothers would be denied the traditional period of grieving and preparation for sending their son on to the next life. By communist decree, the mothers of Russia were stripped of their dignity and not permitted to acknowledge their son's heroism, sacrifice, and patriotic duty. But after a half decade of war, the system of total control that Lenin and Stalin had created, and which had been brutally enforced over the next 40 years, would begin to crack under the weight of a war that did not exist. The mothers no longer stood by silent, and veterans of the Afghan War began to build a life as civilians. They told stories and sang songs of the secret war, from the invasion to the storming of Amin's palace. They spoke of comrades fallen in battle and sang of the Black Tulips and their cargo of death. But beyond the stories and the songs were the scores of young veterans now roaming the streets of Russia without arms and legs, limbs lost in a war that did not exist. And while their enemy, the Mujahideen, had the promise of 72 virgins and a one-way ticket to paradise, the unbelieving invaders had only the promise of the Black Tulips and the 10 coffins with a small window. And the mothers wondered if the body inside the tin box was truly their son, but hesitant to risk the sight and smell of opening the coffin to see it for herself. So stark was the image of the mourning mother that one of the songs the veteran sang back home was of the mother opening the casket to find another boy's body inside. And even if her worst fears were confirmed, she could do little more to explain his sacrifice outside of, quote, fulfilling his international duty. There were no medals, no parades, no May Day remembrances of glorious sacrifices for the Soviet Union or Mother Russia. There was only an unceremonious retreat from Kabul as the world watched in premature jubilation at the defeat of the Red Army on the field of battle, which would ultimately lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union years later. After 10 years of war and 30,000 Soviet deaths, Afghanistan would return to the Wild West warlord rule, which marked much of its history, and which had repelled empires for time immeasurably. It would also, of course, mark the beginning of the radical Islamic terrorist movement, which would find its way to American shores on September 11, 2001, and which would lead the United States to invade Afghanistan over a decade later to unseat the Taliban. It would also bring American troops to the deserts of Iraq, where over the course of a decade of war, we and our allies would unseat a tyrannical dictator and bring free and democratic elections to a people which had never seen the like. Much like heroes of the great generations had done over a half a century before in places like Japan and Germany and fascist Italy. And like those heroes, the veterans of Afghanistan came home as victors to ticket tape parades, marching bands, medals on their chest, and the welcome arms of the American public. Unfortunately, the sacrifice of today's generation of veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are being slowly relegated to the dustbins of history as the progressive administration of Barack Hussein Obama and his allies in Congress pander to their pacifist base and their pseudo-allies in Baghdad and Kabul. Just this week in Iraq, the cities of Fallujah and Ramadi, which were liberated from terrorist control at the cost of over 100 U.S. Marines, fell back into the hands of the Al-Qaeda-backed ISIL. In his first remarks since the fall of the cities, Secretary of State John Kerry emphatically rejected sending U.S. troops back into the country to combat the terrorists. As he put it, quote, "This is their fight. And for once, I agree with the traitorous sellout bastard, because it is this administration's fault that we pulled out of Iraq without completing our job. It is the Iraqi government's fault for pushing us out. And all our boots on the ground in Iraq would accomplish now is to fill the next generation of black tulips with our sons and daughters, as they are left stuffed in the tin coffins for this administration of cut-and-run cowards. Hell no." For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Did I say no? I thought I did.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom shakalaka like a boom shakalaka like a boom shakalaka like a boom.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, obviously, when you get to the end of that tirade, of course, we could have written it literally for this week.
Right.
And what's going on over there. But, you know, obviously you go, wait a minute, goodness knows. I mean, that was written like 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are looking at the exact same thing.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting, Tom, in that the fact that the Russian troops, the Soviet troops, when they were in there, they didn't have any parades when they came home. As they mentioned, there were no parades.
Right.
The war didn't exist. And it was Jen Sarkobak Saki who when asked about the end of this war, when they announced that we were going to pull out, you know, she's the one that said, "Oh no, we're not going to have any parades."
Nope.
For our troops.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's mind boggling to even try to comprehend what could have been going on in the minds of those folks in the White House, other than the fact that it was supposed to be a photo op,
right,
for September 11th, the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom, here's the thing: not only did the Biden administration, yeah, they came out. You heard Nancy Pelosi earlier; she said there's going to be swift action if you take any, hurt any Americans.
Yeah,
but the UN has stepped in as well, and I think we have a clip of what the UN, our UN ambassador, had to say to the Taliban. We got that, Dalton?
All else what?
All else, we will be very, very angry with you, and we will write you a letter telling you how angry we are.
Okay, I'll show you, Hans.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we had some diplomat.
Right.
We're going to. Yeah. And that was basically what our UN ambassador said. We had put out a very strongly worded press release, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Strongly worded press release.
I mean, the Taliban
big
obviously stopped.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, they got to get. They can't do anything, Cal. They can't get the damn president out of his bunker.
Well, no, what you got is a bunch of State Department weenies who've never done anything but go to school,
right,
who are trying to run our foreign policy just like they did during the Obama administration, and they pushed our military commanders right out the door.
Right, they did.
And unfortunately, they pushed our troops right out the door, back into harm's way, and left a bunch of Americans, hopefully not to be held hostage, but they've left them over there.
Right.
And goodness only knows what we're going to see in the next few days, in the next few weeks, Tom.
That is so true. But, you know, we have to consider the fact that we did that tirade, 6 years ago, during the Obama administration, but we have to also realize that the same people we were talking about then are running the show now for Biden.
Oh, well, yeah, that's absolutely true.
So, you know,
but that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network. It is. It is. Right back again. Hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
And a big hoorah.